The word of the Lord, which we set our hearts to this morning, is taken from Genesis chapter 50. We'll read verses 12 through 21. This is what the Lord says. So Jacob's sons did as he had commanded them. They carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre, which Abraham had bought along with the field as a burial place from Ephron the Hittite. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt, together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. Let me begin with just a short true story from history. In 1942, a young man named Desmond Doss enlisted into the U.S. Armed Services. Now, what made this unique is he enlisted, and when he enlisted, he was going in as a conscientious objector. In other words, he decided to join the military, and he would not carry any weapons with him into war. He believed that his religion couldn't allow him to do that, to bring any kind of harm or pain to another human being. Now, many people viewed this as cowardice. They viewed Desmond Doss as a coward because he just wasn't willing to do what was necessary for his fellow comrades and for his nation. But any thought that he was a coward was put to rest when, at the Battle of Okinawa, he is estimated to have saved the lives of anywhere between 50 and 100 people, all while not carrying a single weapon to defend himself. Desmond Doss was an unlikely hero. You know, stories like this, they really do resonate with us, don't they? When we see people's lives being saved, especially at the hands of the unlikeliest of heroes. It resonates with us because it maybe even gives us hope. As we think, I could be a hero too. If Desmond Doss could do it, then I could be heroic as well. This week and next week, we're looking at some heroes from the Bible, and we're going to consider how we can do what they did, how we can be heroic as well. Today, as you heard me just read, we're looking at the life of Joseph and how he showed heroic trust in God in times of trouble and heroic forgiveness to his brothers. And so we're going to look at just that idea of showing heroic forgiveness and what that means. We're going to look at 3 points this morning. First off, the pain of forgiveness. Second, the power of forgiveness. And finally, the potential of forgiveness. So the pain, the power, and the potential of forgiveness. Let's just do a recap, though, before we jump into it. Let's do a recap of Joseph and his life, because we're kind of jumping into the end of Joseph's life and the end of the book of Genesis. Joseph was the son of a man named Jacob. God came to Jacob, and he promised Jacob that he was going to make his name and his family line a great one. So that's what God did for Jacob. Jacob, he ended up having 12 sons with 4 different women. Now, that in and of itself is another sermon for another time. But these 12 brothers, of these 12 brothers, Joseph was the favorite of Jacob. And he showed that favoritism to his son Joseph. Again, another sermon for another time. As you can imagine, though, Joseph's brothers, they weren't too happy with the kind of favoritism that Jacob showed to him. And so they came up with a plan one day that they thought would solve all of their problems. One day, as they were out taking care of the flocks of their father, they saw Joseph coming and they decided they were going to sell Joseph as a slave and they were going to tell their father that he was attacked by an animal and that he died. And so that's exactly what they did. And they thought all their problems had gone away. Well, for Joseph, life kind of stunk. He became a slave of a man named Potiphar. But Joseph, he served faithfully. And he gained the trust and the admiration of his master. Sometime later, he was wrongfully accused of harassing his master's wife. And he was thrown into prison. And for Joseph, life kind of stunk again for a while. But he served faithfully. And he gained the trust and the admiration of the prison guard. And sometime later, God put an amazing opportunity before Joseph. He was given the opportunity to interpret a couple dreams of Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt. And he did just that. By the grace of God, he interpreted these dreams accurately. And as a reward, Pharaoh, he made Joseph the second in command in all of Egypt, this huge empire. Now here's where things get interesting, is there was a huge famine that took place in all the land. And Joseph's brothers, they needed food, and so who did they come to? Their brother. They had to travel down to Egypt to get food, and they met their brother. They didn't recognize him, but their brother, long story short, he revealed himself to them. He forgave them for all the wrong that they did to him. And they went up, got their father Jacob, and they moved down to Egypt, and they lived happily ever after, sort of. After Jacob died is where our text picks up. You see, these brothers, they knew that now that the patriarch of the family was dead, they were afraid that Joseph had every right to punish them, to get back at them. And so they fell at his knees and said, "We're your slaves, we're sorry, forgive us." And amazingly, this is how Joseph responded. He said, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." You know, Joseph, as he went through all this pain and suffering, he could have easily looked for someone to blame, and his brothers certainly were to blame, but that's not what he did. Instead, notice especially what he said there. He said, "Am I in the place of God?" Joseph understood that revenge was not something that was something he could take out on his brothers. That would be putting himself in the place of God. And I find that fascinating that Joseph understood this already. This was before God gave the commandments, the Ten Commandments, before he gave the law to the Israelites. So how could Joseph have known that this was God's will? It's amazing that he knew that he couldn't put himself in the place of God even before these commandments were given. And really, up to this point, there was only one commandment that God had ever given to his people. Maybe you remember it. It was back in the Garden of Eden. He placed Adam and Eve in this garden, and he placed one tree in the garden, and he gave them one commandment. Don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. It's such a small command, right? Up to this point, the Israelites had one command. For Adam and Eve, their entire Bible could have been written as a note on their hand. And as Adam and Eve were walking through that garden, you know, as they're going through the middle of it, they see that tree, and they maybe forgot. Okay, well, what did God say about that tree? It's really delicious. I should try it out. No, hold on. Look at my hand. Okay, don't eat from it, right? One command. That's the only command God gave them. And yet they still disobeyed him. And they ate from that tree that they weren't supposed to. And in doing so, they were basically putting themselves in the place of God. They were saying, "God, you're wrong, and we're right. And we're going to do this even though you said not to, because we think we know better than you." You know, that's really what's at the heart of every sin, isn't it? It's us putting ourselves in the place of God, thinking we know better than him. And that includes trying to get back at somebody, taking out revenge. God, he actually spelled that out later on when he gave the commandments to the Israelites. In Deuteronomy, and then again in Romans, we read these words, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay." That's what the Lord says. Now, Joseph, he knew in his heart that he had no right taking the place of God. So, is that something that you know as well? When things don't go your way, when things are painful in your life, when someone has wronged you or hurt you, physically or emotionally, do you try to take the place of God? Do you try to repay evil with evil? Do you maybe speak badly about someone behind their back, post things all about them on social media? Do you put yourself in the place of God and try to hurt them the way that they hurt you? You know, Joseph, he understood that that was something that he couldn't do. I'm sure the temptation was there, though. That temptation is always there when you've been hurt to hurt someone back. And that's what makes forgiveness, by its very nature, painful. Forgiveness is painful because if you have to forgive someone, it means that you have been wronged. You have been hurt. Someone has caused you pain. And forgiveness means enduring that pain, taking that pain, not looking for someone to blame, and letting it go. Not returning the pain to them. That is why forgiveness by nature is painful. It means that you have been pained. So how can you possibly find the strength and the power to forgive someone when they have wronged you? Well, just look at where Joseph found his power. Joseph, he understood where he stood with God. He knew that he wasn't God. He was beneath God. He understood that God was in control, and so he trusted in God, and he trusted in God's plan for him, even during this time of pain and suffering. And that is what led him to be able to forgive his brothers. It was because he could trust in God and his plan at this point. Now, when you have been hurt, can you trust in God? You know, I kind of wanted to, at this point, read through some of the headlines from news from this past week, but at this point, I think everybody is well aware of what's going on in the news, and we're maybe even oversaturated by some of the events that are going on. So instead of reading them, maybe just refer back to them. And as you think about all the events that are going on in the world, are you ever tempted to think that you can't really trust that God knows what's going on? Are you ever tempted to think that you would do better than God when it comes to all the things that are going on in this world? Maybe at times like this, you're struggling to trust in him because you see people who have hurt so many other people, and you want to take it out on them. Maybe you see the way that some of your leaders are dealing with things, and you just can't trust them, and you want to get back at them. Do you realize, though, that when you want to get back at other people, you're basically putting yourself in the place of God? You're doing what Adam and Eve did. You are saying you are in the position of God. Friends, I'm here to remind you this morning that you can trust in God. You can trust in God even during these difficult times, even when things don't seem so certain. You can trust in God. And I want to give you two reasons. First off, specifically from our text, you can trust God because of what he did with Joseph. As Joseph was going through so much pain and suffering, God was using that pain and suffering. For what purpose? The saving, as it says in our text, the saving of many lives. Because of Joseph's forgiveness, thousands of lives, millions of lives were saved. Joseph might not have understood what was going on, but God had a plan the whole time. And then the second reason why you can trust in God is because of look at what he did for you, and specifically, look at what he did for you in Jesus. You know, as Jesus came into this world, that he came to bring goodness and love into this world. He came to heal those who were sick. He came to raise people who had died, to care for those who really haven't been cared for, and to love those who needed to be loved. And what did Jesus get for all of that? Well, he was beaten, and then he was put on a cross and tortured to death. And you know, all the while, Jesus had every right to look for someone to blame. And he could have looked at you and me and this world full of sin and all these people in this world, including you and me, who don't trust in him at times. He could have looked to us and blamed us. But Jesus didn't do that. As Jesus went on the cross, he didn't look for someone to blame. In fact, all he did was take the blame and take the pain on himself. He took the pain of carrying the load of all of our sins and all of our failures. He took the pain of being rejected and forgotten by his Father in heaven. He took all of that because he loves us. And because he did all of that, he took all of that pain He wants us to know that when we stand before our Father in heaven, we will have a perfect record. That, friends, is why you can trust in God, because of what He has assured you of in Jesus, our Savior. And friends, because then you can trust in God, because you can trust in His plans for you, you can forgive others when you have been suffering for being wronged. And so that leads us to then the potential of forgiveness. You can forgive other people because you can trust in God. Just look at the potential of forgiveness just in Joseph alone. Here's what we see. We see that Joseph, he is second in command. He had every right to get back at his brothers. He could have done exactly what they asked him. He could have made them slaves as he was a slave. He could have put them to death if he wanted to, but he didn't. Instead, he forgave them. He released them of their guilt. And as a result, look at what happened. He saved their lives. He saved the lives of basically the entire Jewish race. And that included the line of the Savior, Jesus. That is the power and the potential of forgiveness. Forgiveness saves lives. Now you might think, okay, well, that's really nice, a great story from the Bible, but it doesn't really have application in real life. Well, it does, absolutely it does. I want to share with you just one example of that. Back in 2010, on Palm Sunday, a couple, Andy and Kate Gromaire, were outside taking care of their garden when they heard a knock on the door, and they found out that it was a deputy sheriff who had come there to announce to them and let them know that their daughter, Anne, had been shot in the head by her boyfriend when she tried to break up with him. Anne, unfortunately, did not survive the injury. 5 days later, Kate went to prison to visit Connor, the young man who shot her daughter. And she went there with the blessing of her husband, Andy, to announce one message. The message was simple. They loved Connor, and they forgave him. In an interview, Andy, he said, "How could I not forgive him? How could I not forgive Connor, knowing what God has done for me, how much God has loved me, and forgiving me for all the things that I have done against him?" That forgiveness that they granted to Connor had a profound impact on him. Let me just show a 5-10 second clip here, Connor announcing the kind of impact it had on his life.
The Gromaire's decision to forgive me was the only reason that I ever came to believe in God and believe in Christ. There's no other explanation for the forgiveness the Gromaire showed me.
I know it's just a short clip, but it just shows the profound impact that their forgiveness had on Connor. Without their forgiveness, he never would have come to know his Savior Jesus and the forgiveness that Jesus had granted to him. Forgiveness has so much potential. It saves lives. Joseph's forgiveness, it saved the lives of his brothers. Jesus' forgiveness, it has saved the lives of you and me. The Gromer's forgiveness, it saved the life of Connor. Forgiveness saves lives. And because of that, let me close with four applications, just four thoughts for you to take home, knowing that you can trust in God, knowing what He has done for you, the forgiveness He's granted you, and how you can trust in His plans. Four things to take away. When you've been hurt, don't look for someone to blame. Joseph, he didn't look for someone to blame. Jesus didn't look for someone to blame. Don't look for someone to blame when they have hurt you, when someone's hurt you. Secondly, because you can trust in God, leave all the righting of wrong to Him. We read a couple of passages that is what belongs to God, revenge belongs to God. We know because He has righted all of our sins, we know that in the end He's going to right every other wrong that this world ever sees. Three, see God's hands in man's bitterness. One of the things that helped Joseph get through these 13 years of being a slave or in prison is that he was always looking for God's hand in this. We see that in his response. He said that God was using this all for good. So when you're going through tough times, when you've been hurt or wronged, look for God's hand even in your bitterness. And finally, respond not just with forgiveness, but also with affection. The very last line of our text, it says that after Joseph forgave his brothers, he didn't just stop there. It says that he also reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph didn't just stop there with saying, "I forgive you." He continued on, and he offered them reassurance and comfort. He reminded them that he loved them and that he cared for them and that they had nothing to worry about. He didn't just grant them forgiveness. He granted them affection and care. You know, Joseph, he was an unlikely hero. He's one of the least likely persons you would expect to grant unbelievable forgiveness to the men who hurt him, to the brothers who were supposed to love him, and yet they wronged him terribly. Joseph is that unlikely hero. Friends, keep in mind that you can do the same thing. God tells us exactly how we can be just as heroic in the forgiveness that we grant to others. He reminds us that when we are pained, when we are hurt, when we cause pain and hurt to someone else, the solution is always the same. Turn to your loving God. Turn to your Savior. Lay your sins at his feet. Receive forgiveness from him and trust in his plan. Do that as you forgive others, as he forgave you. Amen.